But really appreciate you brothers helping us out here. Also, just some housekeeping things. As a reminder, the only thing that we are allowed to bring in here is water. Some have brought in coffee this morning and different treats and things like that and eating. Understood, understand it, but we need to get back to having water only here, okay? So, since we do have chips and all those kind of things in here, here's what we need, okay? Leaving this place this morning, that nothing that you brought in should stay, right? So if you pick it up, take it downstairs, put it in your pocket, put it in your car, whatever it is, but as long as it doesn't stay here, amen? So, what's that? Yes, so we're all good on that? Amen. Okay. Huh?
Please take some.
Oh, LaVanya said you can take some snacks to leave with you downstairs. Some very good snacks, I must say. Yes. Yes. And let's see here. Oh, just as just a calendar item, and we'll announce this even at on the 3rd and what have you. But on February 8th through the 10th, we're having what we call a Hope Weekend. And here's what it means. We're going to have a brother and a sister from Denver, Wade and Deb Cook, who work with Hope Worldwide. They're coming into town, and they're going to spend time with the elders, with Ron and our wives, with Hope, Mike, and Ann, and with the Hope board as well. And he's going to preach to us on Sunday, spend some time with the family group leaders that Sunday also, and really bring to us a Hope Worldwide perspective, and doing a lot of sharing just what's happening around the world, and also to, I think, bring to light even more the great work that the Hope chapter here in Charlotte does, and because there's a lot of work that happens, as you guys know, so that'll just be a great partnership. But you know, want you guys to be aware that that's happening again February 8th through the 10th. Amen. Crystal and Eugenia they wanted to kind of put some wraps on some of the things that they shared this morning, so I'm going to let.
Hey. Okay. You know, I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says a power for righteous man and woman is powerful and effective. Back in 2017, my wife and I, we had two miscarriages. And I know some of you guys already knew that, but that really, really, it hit it home for me really bad. It was hard. We have no idea what God is doing. So back in 2018, we said, okay, now we're just gonna back away. You know, recently, towards the end of the year, last year, my wife didn't even know that she was pregnant. So you guys can tell. but this one is different. When she found out when she's pregnant, so she started having some symptoms, and then there was concern. I said, oh gosh, we're going to lose the third one again. And the same thing that was happening when we lost lives too is happening again with this one. On our way to the hospital, I can just pray, but at the same time, terrified. Losing the third baby, I don't know what that do to me. So when we got to the hospital, my heart was racing so fast, so fast. And when the doctor was checking up on her, I didn't even want to look. I was waiting for that bad news. And so when she finished doing, when she finished the exam, she looked up and with a big smile on her face. When she saw that smile, okay, that's a good sign, you know. So my heart's beat just slowed down. But she said, "Your baby's fine, but did you know you're having twins?" Oh. ran straight to the bathroom. I cried and cried. And I was broke. I mean, I could not do nothing but to praise God. I mean, we lost the two, and it's now He's given us that two back. Our God is faithful. So you may not understand what He's doing. Believe me, He has a plan. But please, with the twins, she's having a, well, I don't know if I know that word, but it, identical twins, all in like on one sack. So it could be two boys or two girls. So with that comes with complications. So we need your prayers, please. Please, please. Pray for us that God will bless the situation. Everything go out really well. Amen. But thank you so much. Just want to share that with you guys. You guys can keep us in your prayers. Amen.
Amen. That's some great news. Amen. All right. I know when they told us, that was the first thing I thought. Boy, God is just, what a blessing. All right. So can we make a quick transition out of the baby news back into the meeting? All right. So we're going to have, I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. And we've talked about our focus, our theme for the year is one in heart and mind, okay? So let's just read the passage here first in Acts 4, starting in verse 32. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And we've read this, you know, many times. You put this with Acts 2, and you see just the, boy, there's, when you think of the scene, at least for me, I think of something that's loud. People just all involved with each other, a lot of food that's being passed, a lot of money that's exchanging hands, right? But a lot of needs that are being met. But you look here and it says that they shared everything they had. You see that it says first that they were one in heart and mind. They didn't claim that any of their possessions was their own. You see here that it says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Grace, much grace was upon them all. Then it says, there were no needy persons among them. Because there were those who had lands and homes, and they sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet. Then the scriptures kind of highlight another person that did exactly what they had already said, Joseph. So he was a standout, if you will, son of encouragement, Barnabas, right? And so you see those things and it's like, well, how did that happen? How can we have this come alive in the church? You guys ever thought that or wondered that? Well, hopefully this is where we're headed, and one reason why we talk about the house church or the family group so much. But I want to show you a series of pictures first, all right? Now, when you see that picture, what does it evoke? What does it make you think?
Balance.
What else? Peace, right? Now, if you were to move any one of those things, what would happen? It's done, right? If you move the base, it's done. You move either one of those rocks, it's done. Next slide. So those are some things, right? So each stone and the stump, each one of those has a specific role in keeping that balance, right? Even the slates have the longer stones have a place. Each one has a place. That's what one in heart and mind looks like. There's balance there. Everybody has got a role. And I got to go back to the thing that Vince shared. I mean, seriously, that was it was simple, but it was a butt kicker, and I can say that, right? And it was just like, wow. No, that was not, probably not. Okay. Sorry. But I was like, wow, that's it, right? And so that's it. Next slide. Now, what does that picture evoke? Okay. Oh, well, that's the positive. All right. Multiplication. All right. Yes. Uniformity. What? Boring. Yes. Okay. Going to the bathroom. Is that what you said? Yeah. Right. That's what it looks like. Yes. Hold on just a second. Hold on just a second. Say, go again. So you said the first one seemed impossible. Okay. Okay. All right. Next slide. Okay. That's what it is. It's unison. Everything's the same. There's not much unique or nothing unique. There's no nuances and groupthink, right? Now, the whole term groupthink, there's a negative connotation that goes with groupthink, right? So when we think one in heart and mind, that is not what we're talking about. That's not what it looks like. All right? Because I know sometimes we can think, well, okay, one in heart and mind. Does that mean all of us got to do the same thing? Nope. It's not what we're talking about. Okay? Next slide. What does that evoke? You want to go? Okay. What else? Community. Okay. Togetherness. Okay. Okay. So I could ask the question, are those houses the same? How many of you would say yes? Okay. How many of you would say no? Okay. And both are right. But the thing is, you got the different colors. Now, these are called the painted ladies. And it's in San Francisco, and I wish I had time to go into the love affair I have with San Francisco, but I can't, okay? But suffice it to say, I absolutely love going there. But these are the painted ladies. And so those are Victorian homes. So basically the build is the same, but you do see even in the construction there's some difference. But the paint gives it a whole different nuance. Every one of those homes has a similarity but a difference. And then you've got the backdrop of San Francisco in the back, and it just promotes something very positive, right? Next slide. Now you see that. Cold, row houses, not much that's different, stale, right? Okay, right? So that is not what one in heart and mind looks like. So that's not what we're talking about. Okay, next slide. So in talking about church direction, and we're saying that, that the family group is the means that we're using. I printed in, want to print this morning, and so I'm having to use this thing here. Yeah. When it works, that's what it's called. Yeah. When it doesn't, it's a thing. Okay. You know? All right. Anyway, go back to the balanced stones one. Should be right before that, I think. Can you go back to the stones? But so the thing that we're trying to do again is strengthen our core, is what we're trying to do. Okay? We get a strong core, strong family groups, then we'll be able to expand and do other things. One part of our history is that we definitely have served in many areas and done some great things. Okay? But what we want to do is to stop trying to do a lot of things and end up not doing them well, to doing a few things and doing them excellently, spectacularly even. Then we can start going out and having more impact. But I want us to bring things back in. Okay, some of us that's easy to think about, others are not, as we get deeper into what I'm actually talking about here. So then how about two more slides after that, bro? No, keep going. Right after that. Okay, and now the next one. Okay, so this is where we're going. So we're gonna use the family group to mature the church and to evangelize the Charlotte region, okay? And it really is a Charlotte region. Okay, I drove again, Don and I had lunch the other day, and I went up to, Huntersville we were in, Don? Hickory. And so driving up there, from my house, it was an hour and 13 minutes. And so I'm driving, it was a great drive, and I start hitting the country. And then we met at Jason's Deli. So I walk into Jason's Deli, and I was like, wow, there is nobody that looks like me in here. Wow. But, I was good, And then, of course, me and Don meet, and we, hug each other as brothers. I'm like, yeah, how does this look, But it's great. But the thing is, I'm thinking, we've got disciples that live way up here. Some come to midweek, but, the rest come to church. We've got disciples, so in Hickory, then, of course, Mooresville, which is a little south of there, right? But then, of course, we can go all the way down to, CT lives in Waxhaw, and then you've got Indian Trail, then you got, Rockville, Tiga K, Fort Mill, right? Which way? Well, Fort Mill and then Rock Hill, is that what it is? You know what I'm talking about, all right? So it's all south. Then you got Gastonia to the west, right? Is it west? Right? You get my point, right? We're everywhere. We're all over the place. And we've got to, in order to strengthen the church, we have to have these family groups do well, right? And so they're in all types of different communities. Well, you've got Acts 2 that we talked about when, and Ron read earlier. You see they're really a building of family. Okay, let's even just look at it. But it's a family being built on a foundation. It says they devoted themselves. Of course, then the apostles' teaching. For us, we've got it all right here. This is the foundation that we're talking about. Then it says they were devoted also to the fellowship. So it was important that for them that they were together. Now, it's a different time today, 2019. And we don't live in an area like Jerusalem. We live in an area that's like Charlotte. Some people live in an area that's like New York City, Jersey, wherever it is that you're from, but you're talking about an expanse now of people. So it's not easy for all of us to get together, right? But there can be some fellowship somewhere with the Christians. And it's got to be, a fellowship that that makes sense. Okay, but it's a building of family. Then it says they were devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And we already know what it's like when you have a meal and you're sitting down together. You know what that's like. And I've shared this before, but McDonald's years ago had this whole slogan, food, folks, and fun. And that's what it's like. The food kind of just, and the table just brings something out. It's just like, and we can talk. There's a joy, especially if you got some good food, right? I mean, it's like, wow. To the breaking of bread, hospitality. you know, and I've spoken about this before, but, and there's others that are like this, but Bob and Tony Legata do a, I'd say, a spectacular job of hospitality. So it's like when you go there, you before you even see the spread, but it's just the home. And then if you mess around and go out in Tony's garden, that's another draw, right, that pulls you in. But then when the whole experience of the table being set and the forethought from both of them, not just Tony, but both of them, Bob included, that goes into this whole hospitality and making you feel, I want you to feel at home right here, right? I mean, that's a gift. Now, we're all called to be hospitable. It's not necessarily everybody's gift, but we're still all called to be hospitable. But let's say you're not good at being hospitable because you don't know what to cook, I don't know how to put things together. You know what takes you over the top? Just being ready to accept people and receive them. Just happy that they're in your home. You know, that goes a long way, right? But that's a big deal. And then it says they were devoted to prayer, devoted to it, knowing we need it. Now, we can hear that and think, well, yeah, that's simple stuff. But let's be honest, we all don't do it. Right. We're all not devoted to it. All of our brothers and sisters aren't devoted to it. We're wanting to get back to being devoted to it. Because a lot of times we ask the question, well, how can we make this happen? And we got to come up with all these different ways. Let's just put the scriptures back in practice. Getting back to our first love. Okay? So that's in maturing the church, and that's how it's going to happen, those intimate, smaller relationships. And we'll get into some of the challenges and how we can overcome them in a minute. But the second part, in terms of evangelizing the Charlotte region, impacting the community, spreading the gospel, the whole concept of blooming where you're planted, and serving in various ways. Now, the thought has been since, I guess, in 2018, when we started talking, is that in these family groups, they're in whatever community that they're in. So that they will impact their community by spreading the gospel, but then as a group, finding a way or finding something that they can do together to serve in their community. Now, for some, you might not have, depending on where you are, a lot of poor in your area. That could definitely happen. But there's still something in your area that you can serve in. It might be a senior citizen's home. It might be something for children. It might be a cleanup somewhere. It could be a number of things. But together, you find out what it is. What can we do together? Is it wrong that individually your people, the disciples in your group, do something to serve, but they do different things by themselves? Is it wrong? No. It's not as effective, though. What we're wanting to do is for the groups to do it together. When you're doing something together, it builds camaraderie as one. Yeah. Right? When you're working at something with somebody together, it pulls you closer together. But then you're going to have impact. Let's say whatever thing that you're doing, whatever official or person that's over that, and then they're seeing God's people do this together, you're making impact. They're like, well, who are you people? Fancy, you should ask that question. Right? And so we want to be able to spread the gospel and serve all at the same time. But we're doing it within our communities. So God's footprint is spread through us because we're serving our communities. Make sense? But we've really got to be devoted to it. That means finding out where we can serve in our communities. Now, I'm not against even a couple of family groups getting together and maybe serving together in a particular area. You know, I'm not against that. I don't want it to become just an overall thing, because we want to impact, again, our communities. Where any disciple is, people should feel an impact. Right? Wherever we are. Okay? Now, again, this gets back to strengthening the core. Let me, and what's the next slide? Okay? And then one after that? Okay. So here's the thinking behind this. The whole one in heart and mind thing. Again, we're talking about being successful and going in one direction, right? Am I right? Okay. So here's the thing that, and I said ministry 1, 2, and 3 because it's whatever ministry it happens to be. Okay, whatever your ministry happens to be. But the first question, in order to bring one in heart and mind, bring it to fruition, the first question is for an individual disciple. So for us as individuals, since our goal, our focus is to strengthen the core through the family groups, the question for you as an individual disciple is, what can I do or what do I need to be to bring that, the family group, bring it to fruition, make it stronger? What do I need to do as an individual disciple, or what do I need to be as an individual disciple? Make sense? Okay, and it feeds right back into family groups. Now, let's take you as a family group leader or a ministry leader. Okay, you follow me? A family group leader or a ministry leader. So you've already asked yourself that question individually. But as a leader, now you're asking yourself about my ministry. How can my ministry be one in heart and mind in strengthening the family group? You with me there?
Okay.
Now, what that's going to mean, if you ask yourself that question and you're intent on making it come to life, that means that we'll get a lot of different ideas, right? There'll be many of us who, you know, I want to do this. I think it'll be great if our group does this or if my ministry does X. And many of them could be great ideas, but it takes us away from strengthening the family group. Okay, or it stretches our resources too far. And if it stretches our resources too far, then that weakens us, right? And again, we're trying to strengthen the core. And as we strengthen the core, then we can branch out. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So sometimes your ideas may need to be put on a back burner. Sometimes your ideas may need to get scrapped. Sometimes your ideas, we just need to think it through and think, okay, well, maybe that can fit. But you first have got to ask, does this hinder in any way the family group focus? And if it does, then you've got to be open to altering wherever you need to alter. You with me there?
Yes.
Now, for some, that'll be harder. That's fine. But this is a process, but this is the direction that we're going. Because at all costs, this is the thing that's got to succeed. Because when that succeeds, we'll be successful in other places. Okay? You with me there? Okay. And we'll have a chance to get some feedback here in a little bit. I wish this would just stay on forever for me. It can? I guess I just don't have time or patience right now to... No, I can't. I got to see my notes. All right, here we go. Okay. Okay, so let me stop right there and get some feedback and thoughts on just the thing I just shared about what that's going to mean in terms of having a singular focus. What does that make you feel? What does it make you think? What questions do you have on that? Open it up. Yes.
Did you give that
what can happen? I'm like, what, man? She's coming up on me. An example of how you would strengthen the core. Gotcha. Any thoughts?
Well, it'd be kind of like you yourself. Before you can be effective in any type of ministry, you have to reach a certain level of spirituality, of knowledge, of maturity. You don't have to be perfect. You wait for that, but there may be anything done. But you want to have a certain, you want to be strong before you try to test them.
Okay.
Do
can see it.
So, again, everybody has an opinion. We all agree that.
What is going to be you? How are those opinions going to be utilized? You know, one of the things that the scripture clearly tells you is that you pray over everything you consider doing. So, an example of strengthening the core for me would be something to not only hearing the people in our group, but applying best possible practices. Like Rodney said, some things are going to have to get scrapped. So you may have a vision, a dream. Oh, we can go do this. Well, that might make someone insecure. Our challenge is not to put a stumbling block in someone's way. So we really got to be cognizant about what we're doing and how it's going to not only have us collectively as a group get strengthened, but individually as well. So yes, being strengthened spiritually before you go out, you can do that together. Pray together before you go out and say, God, whatever your will is, let it be blessed by our efforts. And I think that helps us all to be aware that these are not our efforts alone. This is God blessing the efforts that we choose to do.
So definition, I guess. So when you say ministry, I'm in the middle school ministry. I'm not sure who I'm asking. All right, I'm in the middle school ministry, and I guess if I'm looking at this chart, then I might understand that the middle school ministry should have a purpose of meeting the needs of the family groups. And so the strategy of the middle school ministry should be, how do we strengthen the family groups that these kids are in? Is that what that chart is basically saying?
Let me give an example. You're close. Let me give an example. I was, I'll just tell you what my thinking was. I didn't want to give too many specifics because I don't want anybody to feel called out. All right, but that's me. So, but let me use the youth and family for instance. Right, we had this discussion in staff, and the youth and Eugenia shared earlier about the teens not wanting to be part of the family groups, right, or the house churches that we do that because they mostly focus on adults, right? So the conversation we had was, okay, totally understand that thinking. But if the family group is going to be the way we go, then we've got to figure a way to have the teens be a part, but still have them feel included. So there's going to be the awkward period of having them be in the family group with the adults and, you know, and everybody have to figure it out. If the family group is the main way that we're talking about doing this, so that we avoid one of the things that Bob talked about, having teens be on their own, having campus be on their own, you know, and so we have all these different entities and not really building as family. You get what I'm saying? So practically it means for Crystal Uchenna to talk to the parents and then the teens to help them get more and more okay with being a part of it, but then also them sharing with us, hey, this is what you need, some things you can do to pull in and make them feel a part of since they're the leg. Starting with number one, number two, and number three, right? So that's an example. Does that help? Yeah. 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 Okay. So what are you asking me?
Are we doing away with the specific ministries?
I'm so used to having all of the ministries, so that's what we're talking about.
I would say not necessarily, okay? But we are making a move. Oh, none of you heard the question. I'm going to let him repeat it, yeah.
Yes. The departure from all the different ministries. I'm used to, there's a singles ministry, there's 50 and over ministry, so this is... it's not an abolishment, but probably not a good word.
Blending. Someone said blending.
Family groups within. Is there going to be a team ministry? There was going to be a campus open. It's not built.
Did you guys hear it? Did you understand? He's wondering if we're getting rid of all the other ministries. Basically, right? Yeah, because he's used to, you know, obviously something different. And so what it sounds like is something different. I would say not necessarily, we're not necessarily doing away with them, but what we are trying to do is to actually create family. One of the things that we've seen is historically, we know why a lot of ministries started, like campus ministry, you know, set apart, singles ministry, team ministry. Knowing the history of where that came from, really don't have a lot of time to get into it, but there's reasons behind it that make sense. But then things can go on for so long where lines start to form. Okay? Silos start to form. And then we can't really relate to one another. And what ends up happening is, let's say for an adult looking at some of the teens, unless you are close to them by family or what have you, you'll look at them, you'll be like, oh, okay, you know, cool, you know. And then you're on off to, you know, another adult. And so there's something that's lost right there, right? And so then what you have are a bunch of youth, including teens or including campus, that really don't know how to relate with adults, and adults that don't know how to relate with the youth. And we've got to do away with that, right? So that's where we're trying to head. We don't know how it's all going to work out yet. But we are trying to actually form family. It is more healthy when you have those that are older with those that are in the middle, with those that are younger, and those are, you know, even in diapers, right? That's healthier. And some of us can relate to a generation where it wasn't hard for youth to interact with adults.
Right.
Okay? And so we're trying to get back to that. And even if you read, or when you read things like Deuteronomy 6, It's a family thing that happens. When you read even here in Acts, families are together. So we're working it out, you know, and it's something we're talking through, making some moves, you know, now, and we'll see, you know, what it ends up looking like. Okay, brother.
Well, you kind of talked about when I first became a disciple, we met where we lived. You know what I'm saying? It was actually married couple that I led out with me, a bunch of singles in there.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like that. You know, I knew where to put you. They helped me with my decision. I was getting married. Advice.
Right.
It worked out good for us.
Yeah. 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 Well, let's see. Zania. Wait for the mic.
Ministry, I think we're looking at it in a really concrete way.
Okay.
How we talk about ministry within the church. So, middle school ministry, teen ministry, singles ministry. And I'm wondering, in this picture, are you thinking ministry in a broader way? Like, maybe your ministry is hospitality. Maybe your ministry is public service. I just want to make sure I'm capturing this saying that when you see ministry 1, 2, and 3, we're thinking about the different gifts that might exist within our family groups. And everyone bringing that to the table. So maybe they're the middle schooler. Maybe there's someone who's been in community service, right? And we're looking to incorporate all of this into the vibe of our family group. Are we literally thinking?
No, I was thinking not as broad as you were thinking.
Okay.
Thinking teen ministry, care and compassion, worship ministry, hope, singles ministry, all those types of ministries is what I'm thinking. All right. But I'm thinking that and as a family group. Okay, so the family group has to think that same way also. You follow me? Okay, Don?
So I think maybe a good way for us to try to think about this, especially in our family group, is that in a lot of ways our ministry is whoever we're with at the moment. So it's easy for us to, for us to all be together and to operate sort of in this mindset. I'm in the married ministry, so I fellowship with the marrieds. Singles over there, they're not in my ministry. Well, when you're in a group that has all these people in it, your ministry is everyone you're with there. And so, you know, when we're in family group or house church and we have teens there, that's part of my ministry, is to reach out to the teens. And so to just have the mindset that we're in more than one ministry. I mean, we break things down, like you said, for certain purposes into ministries and stuff. But we're in more than one ministry, really. And our ministry is whoever we have the opportunity to minister to at that time. And we got to sometimes think outside the box and think, okay, am I fellowship the same people I look for? Like when we're in fellowship on Sunday morning, I'm looking for the people in my family group, and I go straight to my family group, and, or people that I've known here for 20 years or whatever, and I'm not looking for the people that I don't know who this might be their first time there. So just so many applications to this.
Right. Jamal? No, Jamal. Sorry. Yeah, Jamal. Yeah. Jamal.
Right. So, in talking about the core and us being leaders, hearing, seeing the tone being set during the family worship get together, it's important that we just remember to, if our core, what we're saying our core is, the youth growing up, they're the legs. As we're sharing in those settings, to remember that we were that age, right? And in our sharing, if we're remembering in that, in those specific moments to tie it in, if we can begin to do that effectively as a group, tying into when we were that age, this would be a seamless transition.
Yeah. And here's the thing, okay? The things that we're trying to do, just remember, it's a process, all right? And some are further along in terms of their group actually feeling connected and being together. Others, you know, maybe your group, you're like, man, look, I don't even know what to do. Maybe we should just do something different, you know? Hey, it's a process, all right? But we're going to have to really focus on it, though, knowing this is how we're going to impact the church and the community. Could you go to the next slide, bro? Okay, this is, I want you to write those two passages down, because I want you to go back and just study them, and we'll get back to that in just a minute. And then the next slide after that. Okay, sorry. All right. It was Ezra 3, 7 through 13. Ezra 3, okay, there it is. And again, that's specifically about small, but we'll come back to that. Can we turn now?
Yeah.
Okay, then the next slide. Okay, so that obviously is a map of Charlotte and the region. It doesn't have, you know, all the cities there. Like, for instance, Valentine is somewhere right there. Right?
Yeah.
But we're all over that place, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's where we are. And so we're trying to get stronger since our building is here. We do have a responsibility for this area, to serve it, to bring it alive to the immediate neighbors even,
right,
to know, not just know that this place exists, but to actually feel our presence.
Amen.
So, but that's a process also, because we're not just here. And unlike many neighborhood churches, we're not just here. We're not just even in the surrounding areas. We're actually all over the place, right? I was just talking to our maintenance supervisor, director yesterday, And I was inviting him to church, and hopefully he'll come out on the 3rd. But I was telling him how, you know, far as we are, where we're spread out. And he lives in Gastonia. I was telling him that we have a family group in Gastonia. And he was like, oh, I live in Gastonia. I said, there you go. But he was blown away that we are all over the place and that all these folks converge into this space to come to church. Right? And so when you look at the map, hopefully you think, man, well, we've got to be effective where we are. If we got a few folks that live out in Waxhaw, they got to be effective where they are, blooming where they're planted. If we got folks down in Rock Hill, we've got two students, two sisters that go to York Tech, right? So where is that? That's right there. Go to school way down there. But then they get right up and come into church with us. Well, where's Hickory's right there? Like, what in the world? Then what, Mooresville is what, right there? Right? So you've got, that's where we are. But it's a great thing. But that's why we've got to really just grow every little place we are. But just think about what that'll mean, though. As we have, you know, the heartbeat grows more and more. That's how we're having impact with what we're trying to do. Now, as a family group leader, and I want to get into a little more, we got a little more time. As a family group leader, I've heard many times, hey, we need practicals, we need this, and what do I do in this situation? We're going to give you a chance to respond to some of these things I'll throw out. But here's the first thing I want you to see, that you just set the example. Set the example. Paul told Timothy to set an example. When he had to set that example, this guy's leading a church of thousands, right? And he's a young guy. And he says, look, you could do all kind of stuff, but I want you to set the example. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. Set the example. Set it in your speech. Set the example in your faith, in your love, in your life, and in your purity. Set the example. Amen. So focus there versus everybody having to respond the same way. Now, I get it. I've had conversations with disciples. And look, we're not studying the Bible with people anymore. We're not growing. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. Well, okay, I was being a little sarcastic, right? But we can point out where we're messing up, right? Or where we're not growing. Let's pull it in and just say, you know what? I'm going to set the example. Not look at me, you know, why aren't you doing it? But I'm in this position. The first thing I need to do is set the example. If it's setting the example and sharing my faith, I'm going to set the example. If brother or sister so-and-so is a little slower at it, okay. God is working. And this is the thing that's a little harder for us, right? So we've read the passage where the Bible says God is not slow in keeping his promises as some understand slowness, right? But then before that, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. Some of us are like, we parade that verse. Others are like, come on. Right? God knows with us, there's a process. There's a flow. We need to understand the same thing. And the quicker we latch on to that, the more grace people feel from us, the more grace God can lavish on us. And I think he'll really come through for us. Amen? But set the example. So you see the map right there. Let me throw this out. But what do you do as a family group leader if you have a bad attitude disciple? Can anybody relate? Can anybody relate? No? Oh, so everything's good. Now, y'all ain't telling the truth now because I done heard some stuff. But what do you do if you've got a bad attitude disciple? The disciple just, look, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Either they say it or verbally or by their actions. They just not in line or care about getting in line. What do you do? All right. What do you do when you deal with mental and emotional challenges in your group? How do you deal with it? Because many times we can look at brothers and sisters that have mental or emotional challenges and we put them in the same category as everybody else. So what do you do? I saw a hand back there, Bob. So we're getting limited on time, so let's say what we need to in a concise way. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Bob.
I think one of the keys to getting to any issue that we have is to get to the root of what it is. We tend to look at a response. I've done this many times personally. I've had to confess that I've done it. But I look at someone who has said something, and that's not actually the problem. There's something underlying. And if we don't get to what's underlying, it'll manifest itself some other way. So we've got to go to the root.
Amen. And I think on that, when things happen, and Ron talked about this at one of our meetings, is that we have to be willing to have the conversation. And that's hard, right, for some. But we got to be willing. If you have a disciple that's not doing well, or they do have a bad attitude, or something's not good, or whatever, you got to be willing to sit down in love and have the conversation. What's happening? Here's what I see, but give them a chance to respond. Okay? And sometimes I can feel like it's slowing us up, but what we're trying to do is to keep each other saved, right? We're trying to stay in the fight together. All right, so that's love, okay? Jennifer, you want to
say? I wanted to share something, just expounding a little bit on what I shared earlier about the relationships that I see I need to focus in. Rod and I were talking a while ago, and he said, okay, the question was, what do you need to do to help be one in heart and mind? And I thought, and then a sister came up to me after I shared what I did earlier, and she said, your response time is great. And I said, well, I'm at a point where you have to go, and we all have to do this at different levels or different in different ways. I have to go from being able to respond to individual needs, right? Because you can only do that for so long. Then the needs get so many, and what do? Right? We all get burnt out. I don't want to do this anymore. Forget it. I can't handle it. I've got to invest that energy in relationships so that I can be more effective. It's got to go beyond me meeting need A or need B and me investing in key relationships that will allow more needs to be met. But to a degree, you all have to do the same thing, really. And the challenge with it seems a bit unproductive. Like, you know, there's really no immediate return on investment when you go spend time with somebody. You enjoy it. In fact, it kind of seems a little indulgent. Like, really? You know, that's what I did. I went. We had lunch. We talked. It's fun. It's great. But it builds a connection that produces so much. And that's where faith comes in. Because God's like, I know what I'm doing. And the interesting thing is, I like building relationships. So here God's calling me to do something that I actually like to do. And then I think, yeah, but that seems kind of easy. Then he says, yeah, right? My yoke is easy. My burden's light. Maybe this is all going to connect for me here. So I want to share that with you on kind of where my journey is. And also to help you understand, too, it's going to be a shift for me to focus from just sort of here, the whole church, to, okay, then I could say the family group leaders. But then really I think about the staff and the elders' wives and how much energy and time I need to spend building those relationships. So that's kind of where I'm at. You can be praying about that. But I see really all of us, to some degree, need to focus more on just building our relationships, and I think we'll have a lot more fun. Sorry.
Was that battery?
I'm not really sure. No, you should be good.
Oh, yeah. You're listening. Okay. Okay. Yes, David.
So what Jennifer said was just, this has been an awesome morning, by the way. Thank you for what you shared, Jennifer, because that's what I feel like has really helped our family group grow. I was dealing with an issue with a brother, and my brother Anthony up there, I'm going to put him on the spot, helped us to work through that issue. But what I was really recognizing is the fact that it's true, the more you invest in relationships, the more happens, the more it gets, I don't know, it seems like you get galvanized. I mean, it just seems like the more you invest, like I'm just saying little things like praying, like it's a brother I'm praying with or spending time with or whatever the case may be, it kind of takes care of the whole group. Somebody's been asked, and it feels like it's not that hard if you're investing in those relationships. At first, it seems like it's easy, but we've seen our family group, even things like a couple years ago, a brother was like, "Man, when are you gonna have D group?" Just for an example, and I was like, "Gosh, I gotta do D group." But then we just started doing D group every first and third Saturday, and it just was phenomenal. So then, and I don't feel like I have to do it all. Like that, there's brothers in my group that they can lead it. I don't have to do all the leading. But you're right. By investing in relationships and with the family group, it seems like it helps with the growth of the group. That's all I got. Amen.
Amen. Hazel.
Can you hear me? We talked a little bit about this morning, but I think that as we get into these family groups and we all become one, singles, campus, marrieds, or whatever, I think first we have to just realize that no matter where we are in the group, we're all disciples, and the Bible is the standard. And so when we get in these groups, at first it's going to be a tendency to kind of shut down if somebody says or does something because you feel like they don't understand you. But the marrieds can learn from the singles can learn from the marrieds, the singles can learn from the campus, and I think that, you know, when somebody has a bad attitude, which there probably will be, but it's only because people think that you can't relate to them or understand them. I think our mindset needs to be right now that it's going to be tough, but we need to all work together as disciples and use the Bible as the standard.
Right. You know, another situation that some find themselves in is too many people and not enough leaders, right? Not enough people to help meet some of these needs, right? And we can tend to get frantic in that and just be like, oh my gosh. And I get it. But Jesus and God are still in control, right? But here's what I mean by that. Relax. You can't meet all the needs like that. It's not going to happen. We can do what we can do, but we can always ask for input. We can ask for insight. And God is going to be working these things out. I think God is even working now. Okay? And we don't know yet how all this thing is going to look, but God is working. Now, let me go back real quick to the whole issue about small. One of the reasons that it's harder for us to get small is because there's an awkwardness with being small. Okay? And some of the groups are small, but there are some of us that are still tied together in some way, and we're not really, we haven't multiplied into actually being a family group apart from the other one that we were connected with. You follow me? So if we were part of a 30 people group, some of us still are connected still in a way where we still feel the security of that bigger group on House Church Sunday. For those that affects, consider this. You will not grow as effective, nearly as effective as a family group leader as long as you stay attached to the larger group. You've got to embrace the awkwardness of being small. Until you do, even the people in your group won't grow as much, because this is what'll happen. When you multiply, and now it's, let's say, five or six of you, and you're not really, the six of you aren't really that close. Now you're at House Church Sunday, and everybody's looking at you as the leader, and you're not that close to everybody in the group, and some of them have a lot of ex, well, what you gonna do? And it's like, uh-oh. And let's say you got a group, like Ron was talking about, nobody in here can sing. So trying to sing on a Sunday is painful. And then you've got a team or a couple in there that, I don't know what they want. What you want me to do about it? Yeah, what? Right? And there's that awkwardness. And we try everything possible to get away from it. What I'm asking you to do is to embrace it. embrace the awkwardness. Once you embrace it, then you start just, well, we're going to have to figure this out. Let me start asking, hey, how you doing? Let me tell you a little bit about myself. Or just start sharing some things. It's not like you're strangers, but you're not really that close. It's got to start somewhere, right? Then we can be effective. Then you can have your house church in a house. More than likely, you can have it in a house. Your neighbor can really come. I mean, your next door neighbor can come. And maybe one, two houses down. But that's how we're really going to feel the multiplication begin to happen. But again, this is a process, brothers and sisters, a process. But what I'm asking you to do is to give yourself to it. So, number one, the family group is our main means at this point to mature the church and to evangelize the Charlotte region. And you just think about what that looks like. That's what we're evangelizing, even going to what we can call North South Carolina. Okay, anyway. So we've got that. The second thing is, one in heart and mind does not mean uniformity. Does not mean everybody's got to do the same thing. But if you could go real quick back to the stones or even the painted ladies, which one comes up first? Yeah. Okay. You see the nuances there, right? Yeah. I'm thinking, at least if not everybody, most of us get a positive feel from that. Right? That's how the family group should look. There's different nuances and everything. And if we put into practice the things that Yuchenna and Crystal shared with us, we're going to embrace, you know, being small. We're going to focus on these family groups. In other words, we're going to focus in a way that our heart is, this thing has got to succeed. And the way it's going to succeed is by God. And so if we focus on that, allowing the Spirit to lead us, it's going to happen. Amen? And having that thinking that everything that we do has got to be geared towards making sure that that family group gets strong. We strengthen the core, then we'll be able to multiply out into other ways and meet more and more needs here in Charlotte. Amen. We're going to close out in a word of prayer, but let me say I appreciate your time. I appreciate your being attentive. Your questions, your thoughts. Obviously, there's a lot more we could discuss. We will get to those as we go out, you know, through the rest of the year. But know that the elders and Ron and I, with our wives, will be praying about this more and more, involving you more to some of the things that we're thinking. And I do believe God's going to do some great, great work through all of us this year. Amen? All right, let's, yes. All right. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much.